much, but I think you told a lot. Well, friends, I'm very happy to be here today, especially to share the Dhamma with you all. And as you all heard the topic, how to bring up your children. I think many of you are here, seems like parents, but maybe there are some who are waiting to be parents. So I guess this topic will be equally important for all of you. Well, one day what happened, one elderly father came to the temple. And he was in his 70s. And he said, "Venerable Sir, I'm very old now. I may die at any moment. I'm not worried about the death. I'm not scared of the death. But I'm worried once I'm dead and gone, there will not be anyone to conduct a Buddhist funeral for me because many of my children are converted to some other faith. So that's what I worried." Another day, a mother, she also got a complaint. She said, "Venerable Sir, my daughter, she doesn't listen to me. She doesn't have any respect towards parents. She goes out with her friends and come very late. And can you please advise my daughter?" So these are some of the complaints from the parents about their children. So I thought maybe to share something from the Buddha's teaching, how to bring up the children according to the teachings of the Buddha. Many parents think that we have to bring up the children once after the children are born to the world. But from the Buddhist point of view, you need to get prepared to bring up the children even before they are born to the world. So when should you bring up your children? Suppose, friends, you are going to plant a seed. And before you plant the seed, you make sure the soil is well prepared, and there is enough water, enough sunshine, and this seed that you are going to plant will grow up eventually, a healthy plant, and will bear the fruits. Exactly in the same manner, friends, before you become a mother, before you become a father, make sure that you are a suitable mother. You are suitable to become father. So prepare the soil for it. Prepare the ground for your baby. Prepare the healthy family environment for your baby. Am I ready to become a mother? Am I ready to become a father? On the day a couple decide that let's have a baby, that's the day that they should think about it. And am I disciplined enough to become a father? Am I disciplined enough to become a mother? So Buddha teach, and he instructs us and encourage us to uphold righteous principles, 5 righteous principles, which are popular as 5 precepts. So a mother and father, before they become parents, a couple, they should uphold 5 righteous principles. It is for the protection of the baby to create a healthy background environment for unborn baby. Friends, there are cases sometimes when mother gives birth to baby, father is in the prison because of his immoral conduct. Some mothers give birth to their babies in the prison because of their immoral conduct, criminal activities. What will happen if you do not uphold these righteous principles and yet you are going to be a mother, yet you are going to be a father? It will directly affect your baby and baby's future. We do not have to go through all the 5 precepts, but let's take 1 or 2. What about drinking or taking drugs? If a pregnant mother takes alcohol, what happens? Your baby will be directly affected. Fatal alcohol spectrum disorder is a medical term that the doctors use for many problems that an unborn baby will face due to drinking habit of a pregnant mother. And there can be a lot of birth defects and baby's physical body as well as his thinking can be affected. His organ can be affected. And when a mother drinks, alcohol will pass through the placenta to the fetus. And in fetus body, alcohol will be broken in very slowly. So relatively to the mother's body, the alcohol remains there a longer period of time. So it can affect the baby, the fetus. So later on they will have many problems when they are born. So a mother, suppose, drinks, a pregnant mother, and there is possibility for the miscarriage. There is possibility that she gives premature birth. And there is possibility even to contribute stillbirth. When the baby is born, it's already dead. And what about killing? What about stealing? What about sexual misconduct? Or other type of immoral behavior. If a mother or father who is going to be, if they undertake these immoral activities, definitely that affect the babies. When a pregnant mother kills living beings, she creates a lot of unwholesome dark energy in her mind. The thinking of a mother directly affects the baby. So Buddhism always encourages mothers who are pregnant to be calm, serene, peaceful, and develop meditations and stay with compassionate mind, because that directly affect the baby. But suppose if you are killing, if you are stealing and doing various immoral activities, you defile your mind, you create a lot of negative energy, you produce a lot of dark energy, that directly affect your baby, unborn baby. So Buddhism very strictly says that whoever wants to be a mother, whoever wants to be a father, make sure that you are disciplined enough for that post. You should be disciplined enough to become mother and father, so you have to uphold righteous principles, basically five precepts. Well, another question. A mother, she knows when to feed a baby, but does she know when to insert necessary thoughts into the baby's mind? Especially here, a pregnant mother can insert necessary commands, thought, virtuous qualities to the baby's mind even before the baby is born to the world. And today, science and technology is very advanced. They have done a lot of experiments. And scientists, they have discovered the fetus who are in 20 weeks old. They can already hear the sound. In ancient time, in Buddhist world, among Buddhist mothers, they did not have this understanding whether fetus could hear or not, but they strongly believed their way of thinking, the sound can affect the baby directly. So what did they do? They always practice metta meditation. So it's an ancient Buddhist technique. Whenever a pregnant mother comes to a temple asking the advice, monks always teach these pregnant mothers to practice loving-kind meditation in a special way. Well, today the researchers, they have found out that when a fetus is 20 weeks old, a fetus can hear. But most of the time, their ears are filled with liquid, so they do not hear through their ears, But what happened? The sound vibration is passed through the skull to inner ears. So they find out mother's voice is the dominant voice. So the baby can hear the mother's movement and whatever she talks and whatever she does that directly affect, and baby can hear this. And they have done researches, having put tiny cameras into the womb of those pregnant mothers, and they have observed. And what happened when a particular type of songs or music were played, and these fetus, babies, they have turned their heads and responded. And they have recorded all these things. Then later on, when the babies are born, they have played the same type of songs or music. And the babies, they show the signs that they recognize. So not only that, they also have found out those pregnant mothers, when they sing songs in a soothing way, that helps the babies to stabilize their blood pressure, stabilize their temperature, and stabilize their heart pulse, heartbeat rates. So it helps them to calm down. So in ancient Buddhist techniques, we always encourage pregnant mothers to do chanting, especially Metta Sutta, Metta chanting, or Metta songs. And we always encourage them to practice Metta meditation. Especially when a mother is in her third month of pregnancy, and we encourage them to practice Metta meditation. How should you do it? It's a little bit of difference of ordinary practice. You have to sit on a chair and let your feet rest on the ground. If you are comfortable, you can sit on a cushion. Then straight away, she has to close her eyes. And like we did just now, we have to practice breathing in and out for a period of time. That is to calm down our mind. That is to make our mind concentrated. Once we have stable mind, concentrated mind, then directly she radiates boundless love and compassion towards herself. May I be free from worries and sufferings, be well, be happy. She feels all the good things for herself first. And having done so, in second step, directly she thinks about the baby, because she is the dominant force. Mother is the dominant force. So she directly thinks of unborn baby, the baby who is in her womb, and radiate boundless love and compassion. My baby, may you grow well, may you be healthy, may you grow into a noble human being, be free from worries, be free from suffering, be happy, so on and so forth. All the good things that she wishes her unborn baby. And she repeats it. Here in this Metta meditation, most of the time when we practice Metta meditation, we do it in our mind. We do not verbalize it. But when a pregnant mother practices this meditation, we always encourage her to open the mouth and repeat these words in a rhythmical way, in a soothing way. When the baby hears this, the baby feels so soothing. So these words are to be uttered in a rhythmical way, in a soothing way. Then third step. Straight away, think of a husband, of the baby. May my beloved husband, may you be well, be happy. The same thing. Wish all the success for the husband. Then take three of them again. Myself, my baby, and my husband. May you all be free from worries and sufferings. Be well, be happy. And the final step is radiating loving kindness towards all the living beings. Last step. May all the living beings in this world, may they be free from worries and sufferings, be well, be happy. In this way, you should practice Metta every day, early morning. It's the best time, even though there's no specific time. Early morning, having washed and brushed yourself and clean yourself, and then you need to practice this. And eventually, we recommend this to be practiced when a mother is in third month of her pregnancy, onward until she gives birth. So these kind of practices have proved among the Buddhist lands, the babies were born to those mothers who practice metta, they become tend to become more calm, serene, peaceful, noble type of human beings. And even after the babies are born, you can easily train them to practice metta because they have got this while they are in the womb of mother. And they will easily recognize if you chant the same metta sutta or metta song because they have heard about it earlier. Well, what about the father? How can father join with this process? Scientists, they have found out most of the time the outside sound cannot reach the baby because most of the time the womb is such that it is screened those outside sounds to protect the baby. But they found out the vowels or low frequency sounds can be reached because low frequency sounds are not harmful to the baby. So Buddhism again, that is why it always encourages when pregnant mothers are practicing this metta, husband to be around and be spiritually supportive and encouraging. And here, a father also can practice together with mother. So friends, this is where you have to train your child, even before the child is born to the world. What happens when the baby is born? What is the first thing that you should do? Most of the time we have forgotten it nowadays. Friends, human baby is the only living creature on the earth that was fed with different type of milk other than the mother's milk. All the other living beings, they follow their nature and they have the privilege and birthright to drink milk from mothers, but nowadays, and it is getting popular that many human beings, babies, do not get the mother's milk. So again, Buddhism recognizes, and in Buddhist culture, there is a saying, mother turn her blood into milk and feed the baby. This is not a scientific saying. But in Buddhist lands, this saying is very popular. It says, mother turns her red color blood into white color milk and feed the baby. And it has got a deep meaning. What means the breast milk that is the best for the baby? And when a mother feeds the baby with breast milk, that increases the bondage between mother and child. And scientists have recognized the breast milk has got the exactly the correct amount of sugar, protein, water, or fat, or whatever the necessary things for the baby. Everything is there. And it is proved that those babies are healthier. Their IQ level is higher. And their immune system becomes stronger and they grow into a healthy human being. So friends, in Buddhism again, this is again encouraged and it is the birthright of the baby. So as Buddhist mothers, and you should feed your child with breast milk, and that is the best that you can do if you love your baby. And Buddhism again says, mother is the symbol of love. Mother is the symbol of compassion. Mother is the symbol of great appreciative joy and equanimity. And if you really love your baby, and if you wish your baby all the success, then you should do that. Because Buddha says in Metta Sutta, Mata ayatani yam puttang ayusayika putta manurake. A mother who has got only one child, who protects the child in the risk of her own life, we should radiate boundless love and compassion. So here Buddha says, talks about a mother's love. Well, now we all know that when we should bring up the babies, it's not after the baby is born, but even before baby is born to the world, we have to get ready to bring up the babies. Well, when the baby is born, make sure whether your baby has got both head and heart. Make sure your baby has got both head and heart. It is not this physical heart, it is not this physical brain or head. What means by the head and heart in Buddhism, the great qualities of the brain and great qualities of the heart. Most of the time parents, they are eager and they find all the ways to develop the brain qualities. So what are the brain qualities? So, the intelligence, understanding, and IQ level, so on and so forth. The qualities of the heart, again, compassion, loving kindness, goodwill, friendship, and all these. So Buddhism encourages, we need a balance. We need the balance of both head and heart. Most of the time, some parents, they are very eager and encouraging their children to develop their brain. So they are all the way very supportive, send them to school, send them to tuition classes, spend a lot of money to bring, whatever they can afford for their babies, thinking that the babies will grow well, they will become smarter, and each and every parent wants their children to become very intelligent. But sometimes they forget to encourage the heart qualities because all the parents are in a competition. So no matter how your child is going to win, you just want the child to win. You do not care how the child is going to win. But in this process of running the rat race or engaging in competition, sometimes we forget the heart qualities. So what happens? Parents, they encourage the children to become smarter, become intelligent, but at the same time do not give the heart qualities. So eventually children become very intelligent, very smart, and then they become materialistic, since you do not give the heart qualities. So one fine day when you are old, they will kick you out from the house. And to whom you are going to blame? And you are the one who create this child in that way. Because you introduce only the brain qualities, but you did not introduce the heart quality. So together with the brain qualities, you also have to introduce the heart quality. Compassion, gratitude, respect towards the parents, respect towards the elders, the upholding righteous principles, moral qualities, basically religious principles, so on and so forth. Then your child will be a noble person. Just like a bird need two wings to fly properly, your child need both head and heart. When these two are balanced, then only your child become spiritually and materially enriched, healthy, strong human being. Otherwise, he will not be a complete human being. If you encourage only brain qualities, yes, he will be very smart, very intelligent, but he can easily become even a criminal or terrorist because you have not given the heart quality. On the other hand, if you forget the brain quality and encourage only heart quality, what will happen? Your child will be very good, very compassionate, but since he doesn't have brain quality, he will be a little bit foolish, stupid, then people can bully him. He will be, the other people will take advantage of him. So you need to give both head and heart. They should have a balance of this. So make sure that your child has got both head and heart. Who is the first teacher of your child? Who is the first teacher of your child? The teacher in the kindergarten? Do you think he is the first one? No. You are the first one. You are the first teacher of your child. Buddha says, Brahmati mata pitaru pubba chariyaja uchari. Mother and father, they are the creator gods. Why? People believed human beings are created by a god. Buddha said, the one who created that God is not anybody else but your mother and your father, because together they created you. Ayankayo mata pettika sambhavo. This body is a creation of your mother and father. Science explain it very well. How this body is created by your mother, by your father. And people believed this particular God has got four great qualities. Love, compassion, equanimity, and appreciative joy. So mother and father, Buddha said, they have got so much love towards the children. A mother and father, they started love children even before they are born to the world. On a day a mother comes to know a baby is conceived in her womb, that is the day she starts to radiate boundless love and compassion towards the unborn baby, the mother who is pregnant. Wherever she goes, whatever she does, whatever she eats, whatever she drinks, she's always careful. Before she drinks, she thinks twice, whether this drink can affect my baby. Before she eats something, she thinks twice, whether this food can affect my baby. Whatever she does, she's very careful. She has got boundless love towards this unborn baby. This love of a mother, this love of a father is incomparable. Mother carries a baby 10 months. Is it 10 months or 9 months? 37 weeks means 9 months and 1 week. Well, then even though father, does father also carry you in the womb? Father doesn't have a womb. But father also carries you in his heart. On the day that father comes to know that there is a baby is going to be born because of me, that is the day. He is carrying you in his heart. Mother carries you in her womb and heart, then father carries you in his heart. And on the day Prince Nanda was ordained by the Buddha, King Suddhodana was so sad. He went to the Buddha and said, Putta pemam bante chaving chindati, chaving ketva chamang chindati, chamang ketva naharun chindati, naharun ketva atting chindati, atting ketva atti mihaja ahatatitati. Venerable sir, you do not understand love of a father. You do not know what is love. Love of a father spears the outer skin and goes to deeper skin. It does not stay there. Love of a father goes further to the veins and go further and further, deeper into the muscles. It doesn't stay inside the muscles. It goes deeper to the bones. And love of a father remains forever inside the bone marrow of a father. That is how one of a father, King Suddhodana, tried to express his love towards the son. And all the fathers have got boundless love towards their children. So this incomparable love, the rest of the world start to love you when you are pretty, when you are handsome, when you are someone, when you can do something, then the rest of the world run after you that I love you. But your mother, your father start to love you even before you are born. They have got so much compassion towards you. They have got appreciative joy and equanimity. So as a mother and father, you need to have these great qualities towards your children. And again, mother and father, they are the teachers, first teachers in life. So you need to know your duty. How should you train your child? Sometimes babies refuse to eat or drink. Sometimes they refuse to go to sleep. So, what do the mothers do? Olden days? Do not know what do they do nowadays? Olden days? What did your mother do? I do not know old generation. I'm also very old, that's why I'm asking that. Because I remember when we refused to eat or drink or sleep, my mother used to sing some songs because I'm coming from a village. So they always sing songs, poems, and used to tell us a lot of stories, fairy stories, beautiful stories. But when a mother tells these stories, sing these poems, if you study them very carefully, these stories always has got moral lessons, good and bad. Do not do bad things, do good things. These fairy stories, all these stories, poems, songs, have got moral lessons. So mother, teach us in a different way. Even though she does not use a whiteboard and a marker, she teaches us in a different way. And she is the one who teaches us how to talk, how to sit properly, how to wear your shoes, how to wear your clothes, how to talk. She's the one who teaches us the language. She's the one who introduced the world to us. This is your father, this is your brother, this is your uncle, so and so forth. So mother and father, they are the first teachers in our life. But again, Buddhism always, when it comes to mother and father, they encourage one thing. You need to educate your child with right understanding. So samma ditti, right understanding comes number one. You should not make your child to believe in superstitious belief, or you should not bribe your child. Sometimes what do the parents do? When a child refuses to do something, you bribe your child, correct? You bribe, you give some money or you give some gift, or then you made the child to do what you want. But instead of that, Buddhism encourages, without bribing your child, make him understand why it is proper to do something and why it is not proper to do something else. And make him understand. Don't think that they don't understand. They will understand if you make effort. So right understanding comes number one. So mother and father should make children always understand why something is proper to be done or improper to be done, without bribing them, or without threatening them, or without giving them, what is it, kind of, okay, if you do this, I will give you this gift. If you do not do that, I'm going to beat you. Instead of using this kind of way, Buddhism always encourages you to use the right understanding. Sometimes parents teach wrong things also. What do they do? I have seen sometimes children fall down on the ground and start crying. So I have seen some mothers take a cane and beat the ground. Then child stop crying. This may be a good technique. But on the other hand, we are implanting something in the child's mind, immature mind. Child may think the earth is responsible for his falling. Instead of that, mother, what mother should do, to teach the child, you have to be careful when you walk. You have to be mindful. And in this way, maybe, it is a good way to teach. So sometimes I have seen when a child is angry and cries, a mother makes the child to beat a pillow or a doll. Correct? Here, maybe, it's a way of expressing the anger, but on the other hand, we are indirectly teaching something to take revenge or violent way of reactions. And it is always good not to give the toys like pistols and weapons and all these things. We can find some other toys. Because the reason, some of the children, because we believe life after death, and we believe this is not the last life, and we have been born billions of life. Suppose a criminal is born to be your son. Previous life, he is a criminal. He has got criminal tendencies now. By giving these weapons, toys and all these, and by encouraging all these, you may be trigger up these criminal tendencies again. So it is always good to prevent, if possible, not to give these kind of toys, like weapons and all these things, as understanding mother and father. Then, next important point here, how to bring up your child, you have to be the best friend of your child. When I come across teenagers, sometimes in Dhamma camps or in Dhamma schools, if I were to go and teach them, I usually ask these questions. I ask, who is your best friend? And they call out different names. But in rare cases, there are some kids who says, my mother is the best friend. My father is the best friend. Very rarely. If you cannot If mother cannot be the best friend of the child, and you are useless. Why? Because you are the one who created this baby. And you kept this seed in your womb 9 months, gave birth. From the beginning you brought him up until that moment. And if you still cannot be the best friend, then something is wrong with you. So you need all the possibilities and all the surroundings to become the best friend of your child. So you can do it with right understanding, with so much loving kindness and compassion. And that is why mother and father, they are incomparable. So if you become the best friend of your child, even though child attend to his teenage, when usually when they are teenagers, we have to understand they have got different way of thinking, different way of reaction. They are becoming a little bit rebellious type of. But still, if you are the best friend, still you can control them. If you have right understanding, still you can control them. As a mother and father, you need to understand your children and their friends. You have to be very vigilant. My daughter is associating what kind of friends? My son is associating what kind of friends? Once a while, you should invite their friends also to your house and build up the relationship with your daughters or with your son's friends. Then you know what type of people are they, basically. You have to be very careful because sometimes your son or daughter can be engaged in a drug addicted group or another with the gangsters or another team, a secret society. So you have to develop the link, network. But you have to do it out of compassion, with right understanding. But the problem in the modern society, most of the time, mother and father, they don't have time. They are going to work from morning till evening, they are working. And the children, they do not have anybody to talk. And sometimes children, they have got their own problems. They have their own problems and nobody to tell, nobody to turn up. So mother and father, they are very busy. And so they will look for solution from the friends. So they will end up in different, secret societies or drug addicted groups or gangsterism, this and that. So being a mother, being a father is not something easy. It's very responsible. So before you become a mother, before you become a father, think twice and ask yourself, am I suitable to become a mother? Am I suitable to become a father? Am I disciplined enough? So in this, I think this much is enough as a talk. It's already 12:15, so maybe we have some time for Q&A. So I open this session for Q&A.
Shall we, anybody have any questions? Feel free to ask.
Venerable, thank you for your talk. I've got one comment and one talk. I think you mentioned about the parenting ways, about beating the ground when they fall down. I think during my time, when you cry or when you're naughty, your mother says, mata-mata coming, meaning the police is coming. So that's another of those, I think, not so suitable ways, I think. So just a comment. My question is that if your child is in pain, do we as parents also have to feel the pain in order to be to show that we love the child? That's my question.
Okay, those days when babies cry, mother said, "Stop crying because police is coming." That is quite reasonable. But what happens sometimes in the temples when the babies cries and they use, see, monks is coming, you better stop, otherwise I'm going to kill. So we have got this kind of situations also. And what happens, children, they think monks are very scary, they develop a kind of fear. Well, it's true when the children, Definitely you need to have love towards them, understanding towards them. There are certain occasions that you should show your emotions to your children. But there are certain occasions that you should not show your emotions to the children. That depend on the different incident. Of course, there are occasions that you should show your love, compassion through the emotions. Then they feel that you love them, so that kind of bondage, yes. And there are also cases where you should not, even though you love them, but you should not show the emotions. Like, suppose you want to be very strict to the child, because you do not want the child to do certain things, and you want to discipline him. But you have got so much love towards the child, but you do not show it at the moment. So depend on, sometimes there are parents, and olden days sometimes when the children are naughty, parents beat. I do not know whether nowadays, because it's the children can go to the court. There are cases sometimes parents, having beaten their children, they go to the rooms and they cry themselves. But they do not cry in front of the children. There are cases. Because when they cane a child, they do not cane out of hatred, but with goodwill, compassion, having so much love, because you need to discipline the child. But it's still so painful to beat or cane a child. So there are cases where you need to show your emotions, as well as there can be certain cases where you have to control yourself, or you should not show your emotions. That depend on the different incidents.
Thank you for the talk. I'm curious about how these various types of advice apply to adopted children.
I do not understand the question. Can you please repeat?
How about in the case of children that are adopted? They're not carried by the natural mother, but they're later adopted by parents.
Okay. It is all right to adopt a child. It's perfectly all right. But remember, whether you are suitable to become a mother or father does not mean that you need to give birth to become a mother or become a father in that sense. If you have got these great qualities, great love, great compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity from the Buddhist point of view, these are known as Brahma Vihara, or sublime states of the mind, incomparable great qualities of a mother and father. And if you need to adopt a child, yes, can. But you need to have these great qualities. So you need to consider that it's your own blood, it's your own child. And if you can love this child, if you can have so much compassion towards this child, and appreciative joy and equanimity, just like biological mother and father, then that's alright. That is why I think the governments, they have got a lot of rules and regulations to prevent abusing and of those children. So the government also has taken steps and taken some actions to prevent those kind of things. So first of all, you need to ask yourself, you have to convince yourself before you adopt the child, whether I can be a good father, whether I can be his biological father, even though I am not. Whether I can be this child's biological mother, even though I am not. Do I have these great qualities? So if you have got these great qualities, if you convince yourself, if you are genuine, then by all the means it's all right.
Any more questions?
I'd like to just elaborate on my previous question. I think maybe you didn't quite answer it. For example, if your child has an accident and is in the hospital, then if you go to see him and you're smiling and cheerful instead of being sad and you know, very stressed, so which is a better emotion to have? Is it because if you go in cheerful and jovial, people think that you don't love the child? Is it because, you know, his accident, how can you feel like that? So does it have to be sharing the pain and of the child in order to show that you love the child?
Okay, we do not have to love our sons and daughters to show off to the other people. Don't bother about other people. But you have to really care about your son or daughter. If you have so much love towards your son or daughter, if that kind of occasion where your son or daughter faced with an accident, of course you have so much pain in your heart. You are very stressful and they can feel it. They know it. But at the same time, you are to be very strong because you need to console your child. You need to take actions, necessary actions to protect your child. So you have to console him. So you have to be brave there. In one way, you have to show your love, concern towards your child. Yes, true. And over there, yes, you have to be emotions. But at the same time, you need to be brave and strong. Let the child feel that he is secured when father is around. I'm all right. And my father is taken care of well. My mother is taken care of well. So you need to, even though, okay, certain occasion maybe you do not have confidence much. You do not know whether you can do that or not. But in front of a child, you have to be very confident. You should not let the child to feel that he is insecure. So there are two ways and two characters, two sides. So you have to cater for this. One way you have to feel the child that so much love and compassion that you have towards the child. You can express it through the words. You can show it through the actions. You can show it through your facial expressions. And usually children, they understand. And this is very obvious. On the other hand, also, it is need that you have to console the child. Need to give the psychological strength for the child to go through this difficult period of time. And let know the child that whatever happens, I'm with you and you have nothing to worry, nothing to be scared. I will take care of everything. Even though you do not have confidence to do that, you need to show your confidence over there. So that's why I said it depends on the cases, different occasions. Sometimes we parents have to behave in a different way. But one thing, they all have to be motivated by great love, compassion, and equanimity and appreciative joy. As long as your actions are motivated by these great qualities, you are perfectly all right as a mother, as a father.
Okay, thank you, Venerable, for the enriching talk. We shall say three sadhu to Venerable for the talk. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.